Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It is Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 2014, 45 years after the summer of love. And here we are. Oh, thank you. Here we are in and around the Arcola Theatre for a very special event. It's the Football Ramble live and direct. As you've noticed, I'm sure we got some cameras in, so we're not only doing our first ever live podcast, but also we're filming it as well. So you're probably wondering who the fuck I am. I should probably get into that first and foremost. My name is Ben. Some people know me as Doc, but I am the producer of the Football Ramble live. I got involved as a fan, exactly the same as you guys. Been listening for a hell of a long time. When I first started doing stand up, used to listen to it in a car every time I was in there, listening to it non-stop, and got into the whole thing. Was fascinated by what the hell these guys look like, and made it my mission to sort of go out and seek them out and meet them. And I was just amazed that this had never happened before, you know, because let's face it, there's lesser football podcasts that have live events. And I thought fans such as myself and you guys, we deserve to see them. I want to see what they look like. I want to see them. Who's fat? Who's short? Who's tall? Who's got specs? Who's the funniest? Who's really the funniest? And who has the most knowledge? And do they just read it off an iPad, or do they actually know? Do they know for real? So tonight we're going to find out. But no, hopefully it all goes smoothly and we'll all be out here in 90 minutes. It's a podcast, as you know, that avoids all cliché. And so at the end of the day, I think, obviously, you know, these four lads, they're going to give it their all. And, you know, they're just going to get their head down and enjoy their ramble, you know. So that's really it. I just really want you guys to enjoy it, and I can't wait to see it myself. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, it's the Ramble Boys, one by one, Marcus Speller, Pete Donaldson,
You can't start a fire without a spark, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Football Ramble Live. Here we are. Absolutely magnificent. I would introduce us, but it's already been done. So there's absolutely no need at all. But it's lovely to see your smiley faces looking at us. We are going to start in traditional fashion with an opening question. Why would we change a winning formula? No comments on that, please. A few weeks ago, just before the domestic season finished, 54-year-old Bolivian president Evo Morales signed for a first division side. It was a surprise move. He's playing for Sport Boys. The club said that they'll send the president a list of matches, which he gets to choose, because apparently he's got quite a busy schedule. Amazing, really, for a president. And he's only going to play 20 minutes each game, and he'll be given the number 10 jersey. Absolutely. So, gentlemen, if you could choose a world leader, past, present, living or dead, to have played professional football or to play professional football, who would you go for, Jim?
Now, I think we can all agree that Norwich went down this season because they were insipid, they didn't try hard enough, and they didn't have enough sort of, like, vim and gumption. So, with that in mind, I think Genghis Khan at the base of their midfield would have been a great move for them, because, like, you'd be terrified playing against him. And also, I don't know if you've been to Norwich, it's quite nice. It would have a good effect on the local area because it would start spreading out, it would quickly become the capital, and, just be nice. Yeah. Although that does sound a bit UKIP, so I'm not sure about that. Thinking about it.
That's true, isn't it? A good start. Luke, what are you going for?
I'd like to give credit to Evo Morales first, because it's nice to see a president who actually is into football, rather than this sort of press opportunity thing. Oh, yeah, I support Aston Villa, I support all that. I'm going to stick with the Morales theme, and I'm going to go for Hugo Chavez.
Yes, of course.
The late, great Hugo Chavez.
Venezuelan.
A few of you around may remember Suddenly Chavez.
Well, the radio show where he would just appear and just...
Yeah. So basically, for those of you who don't remember, Hugo Chavez, who was the president of Bolivia, used to occasionally...
First mistake. Yeah. Shall we start again?
He used to appear on the...
That's a train, by the way.
Is that Roy Keane?
It's not. What that sound is when Lord Ramble is displeased.
Was it the ghost of Chavez?
He used to appear on the national radio station anyway, with Suddenly Chavez, a little trumpet solo.
A little harp. You'd listen to a radio programme merrily along, and suddenly you would hear a harp. And that was when
the longest of these radio shows went on for 8 hours.
Yeah.
But I like that he thinks people are going to listen for that long. 8 hours, that should be about enough.
Yeah, tonight is what, 8 hours as well?
Lock the doors. Yeah. I think what should happen is I wouldn't sign him for a particular team. What I would do is I would basically get a letter delivered to the manager the night before a game.
Like, where you're going with this.
You open the envelope, inside, just Suddenly Chavez. Yeah. That's all it is. Everyone has to wait for him to come in, and he plays wherever he wants.
Yeah.
As long as he wants.
On free kicks and pens.
Pens, free kicks and corners.
Yeah. Excellent. Pete, who are you going for?
Enoch Powell. Yeah. He just speaks a lot of sense, don't he? Pick the younger.
There was one bloke at the back end. There was one bloke at the back end going, yeah. Someone said it.
Yeah. Pick the younger.
A few rivers around here.
Pick the younger.
Bit of youth in the side.
Well, he drank a lot of port. He died of a peptic ulcer. He's basically George Best, let's face it.
Yeah. So is this for any specific team or just in general?
Well, he's good in Europe, so I'd probably go for something like...
PSG?
Yeah, PSG. Yeah. The French love him.
That's right, yeah.
The French Revolution and all that, yeah. So I'll go for him, yeah, definitely.
Excellent. I'd probably go for Winston Churchill. And I try and get him into beach football so he could say, we will fight them on the beaches.
It's lazy. It's lazy.
What you've done there is thinking about a beach. And
it was
backwards.
Fine, but it was lazy.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should be laughing at that.
It's better than Ian Duncan Smith, as we've heard before.
Well, I think every answer is better than Ian Duncan Smith. I've got to give out points, haven't I? The invisible
Ben's
points.
Got the points.
Yeah, I think Ben's got the points. Yeah, he's already got them.
Is this the first time we've dished out points in front of people?
Yeah.
It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. Four grown men in a room. Actually, you're all grown men, so it's fine. God, look at all these people, the arrogance from the ramble. Who the hell do we think we are?
Oh,
goodness
my,
me.
My giddy arm. It's got out of hand, really, hasn't it? Yeah. As Ben may have said, the first half of the show will be a domestic season review. And looking forward to next season as well. But let's start off with a little look back at our highlight of the season. Jim, a highlight of the season just gone.
This is an obvious one, but I can't not say it. It was obviously Arsenal winning the FA Cup. It was amazing. Yeah. Well, you can boo, but you haven't got a trophy.
Why, you don't know who they support?
Well, statistically, some of you haven't got a trophy. it was just beautiful. And also, I mean, on a wider point, just watching Arsenal this season hasn't, like, taken any years off of my life, which has been a real sort of change from the last 9 years or so. And it was just... I forgot how good it feels to actually win something. And it was just... I appreciate the hernia I'm not going to have in the future. Because of Arsenal's cup win. And like Jack Wilshere's goal against Norwich as well, it was a thing of beauty. It felt a bit like Arsenal were kind of back. And, you know, now they've won something, hopefully we can kick on again. It was just... I can't even speak. I'm so happy. So relieved by it. It's like waking up from a horrible nightmare that goes on for 9 years and then your 20s have gone.
You all right, pal?
I don't know.
Not the time for the breakdown, really.
And what he meant there was 30.
OK, so you're going for Arsenal, FA Cup win specifically?
If Arsenal win general.
In general. Yeah.
They've made me
fourth
happy
place,
again.
Fourth place is always there.
Well, you summed it up nicely when you said it was the first time since we've been doing this show they won a trophy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, also, we get the trophy for fourth, so...
Yeah, that's in a way. No one can take that away from you.
Hotly contested. Luke, highlight of the season.
I think I'll go for Liverpool. I mean, obviously, I don't support a Premier League team, so I can be pretty neutral on this. And Liverpool really impressed me and were great to watch, and they played their part in the title race, and they went through that run of winning about 150 games in a row. Mm. A key part of the season. And they played great football, and they're just blowing teams away. And it got to the point where, you know, the games a lot of the time were over by half-time. And I thought that, you know, for a man like Rodgers, who's not been in the job that long and is still maybe answering questions about his ability at the top level, it's really impressive. And in a way, I was disappointed they didn't win the title. But, of course, the title... The table doesn't lie and all that. And we all know that Brendan Rodgers has got the trophy for the most honest group. Anyway, so he can rest assured at night that he has got the most honest group of players that have ever lived.
He can't turn up to training with, like, a hair out of place, really, can he?
No.
But the players will be honest.
Yeah, they will. They'll tell
terrible.
Him.
Terrible.
They'll tell him.
Brendan.
You're like shit.
Terrible.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay. But Liverpool, I mean, Liverpool were...
It's a cheap one.
I got through the whole one without doing
it. I'll have that one. Yeah, Liverpool, excellent. Pete, what about yourself?
It's clearly going to be Joseph Manala, the Lazio...
The 17/42 year old.
The man with the oldest face.
Who is officially...
But the best body, though.
The best body.
Imagine a 42-year-old with that torso.
Yeah.
According to the Italian FA, he has been officially confirmed as 17 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that, but they said...
Well, they've lied.
Because look at his face.
His age, does it?
Do you remember the Fine Young Cannibals? Yes. Well, you're 41 then. Get out of my club. Let's just stop being silly, shall we?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Mine was definitely... the highlight of my season was only from last Friday, actually. I was at Wembley. Paper aeroplane hitting a Peruvian fullback. Yeah. It was
yeah, if one of you has got one in their hands, let's just get it out of the way now. A paper plane amnesty. I'm looking at you guys in the back.
It genuinely was one of the best things I've seen at a game. The match, of course, you know, it was never going to be the most entertaining of games. People taking it a little bit easy with one and a half eyes on the tournament, if you will. And people had the bits of paper that you hold up to make an England flag at the start, like, before, as the anthems are played. And suddenly, planes, you know, these paper planes were coming over, and people were watching them. And as they came down, there was a wee every time it went on the pitch. My mate actually missed the opening goal because he was too busy watching the plane. And when this plane came down, I had an excellent view of it, and there was the kind of excitement that you don't get at an England game. And as it came down, it went, and my mate said, that's gonna hit him. And when it hit his head, everyone went, it was up. If anyone was on the radio, you'd think the fourth goal would have scored.
I didn't see the game, and I saw that on YouTube and immediately dismissed it as like a fake.
Yeah.
YouTube video is such good quality. You can see it the whole way down. Yeah. When it hits him, it is like a goal being celebrated.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Absolutely amazing.
The really amazing thing about
people were leaving the stadium.
We've peaked before the World Cup. England.
But it starts to go down, and then it's as if the collective will of the stadium has made this paper aeroplane achieve sentience and just smack him in the back of the head.
He goes, James Milner. Wayne Rooney.
Yeah. So that was mine. That was mine. But what about disappointment of the season, Jim? Arsenal? As well?
No.
Double-edged sword,
aren't they? Yeah, it is the other half of Arsenal.
There certainly was a month or so where Kallstrom? It was just depressing. Kallstrom was a strange one.
He
had a fractured spine. That's one of those things you'll forget when the history
books. I like the way a manager who would sign a player and saw he had a fractured spine, most managers would go, whoa. Yeah. Arsene Wenger was just like...
Yeah. It's not the worst injury we've got.
He's not spineless.
He still plays for us.
Well, maybe he signed him to keep the RB company and cheer him up.
Yeah.
Can't be nice to be on your own for that long.
Go on, well, what was your in the treatment room?
I would say England's World Cup is my point.
Yeah.
But before that comes true, it's Diego Costa and Arda Turan missing the Champions League final, because that will be the what if of an entire generation of not just Atletico fans, but sort of anyone that roots the underdog. And it was such a shame. It could have been such a different game. They clearly played for 90 minutes, just that could not handle the extra time. And if Turan had been there, you know, if Diego Costa had been able to run, which we all know is
that
crucial.
That was weird. That was very strange.
I mean, how did he fake that? Like, if he couldn't run in the game, how did he convince Simeone he could?
He threw a paper aeroplane the other way.
Yeah. I think, I mean, the only thing, the only positive you can take from that is that Diego Simeone carried himself with great dignity.
At the end.
And really showed that...
He did all Costa's running in that one second.
To children around the world, and it really is the taken part that counts. Yeah. Yeah. Treat victory and defeat, those two imposters just...
When you've got so much energy inside, you've got to run somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, you can run into the crowd, that's not allowed.
Luke, most of the business...
My disappointment. Yeah. Probably United fans.
United fans.
Yeah, shout out.
Are you booing the fact that he called them United rather than Manchester United?
Okay, Manchester United fans. You're the only one who cares.
I'm booing into my non-cop.
I think really they went, as I said before, they went from being, known for being pretty good fans, following the team around, the away fans particularly, Man United are very good, to just that team of fans that fly banners around. And there wasn't even a Lee Sharp barbecue in sight. Tell you what, if Lee Sharp pulled the barbecue out, a load of fans went, I'd have been happy with that. But other than that, I just thought it's taken them a very short amount of time from being sort of good to just shit fans. As a man who supported a shit team for, forever, I'd find it quite distasteful.
Right. Yeah, fair enough.
Are you jealous that your guys can't get a plane together?
I'm just jealous about it. That's part of it. I'm jealous about just how indignant they can make themselves.
Yours would actually be a pepper plane.
With like some badly spelt words at the back. And then with mush on the end.
Pete, what about you?
Costas Mitroglou for Fulham. Sounds good, yeah. 12 million quid, played.
11 and a half, actually.
That was it, okay. Oh, that's all right, then. Five good.
Bargain.
So you might want to rethink your answer.
Yeah, maybe. Jokes on you, Donaldson.
I don't know, maybe.
But you can still have that as an answer.
Kip Verdy not qualified for the World Cup. Edgar Davids leaving Barnet.
Yeah.
The time Chicharito's dad couldn't find Chicharito and then he got lost inside a giant whale. That might have been the plot of Finding Nemo, though.
Yeah.
Do kind of forget easily.
Can I just say, when we were planning this earlier, half of Pete's answers were from about three seasons ago. I just argued the toss.
I
argued for ages. The Kenwyn Jones pig.
Kenwyn Jones pig. Yeah, Kenwyn Jones pig. That was last season.
I was sure that was this season. Never mind.
One of them was Toto Scarlacci.
Timeless prank.
And then he tried to get out of it. My God, he was really good this season.
Yeah. I would go for Lucas Moura not quite finishing off what would have been the goal of the season. Goal of all time for Paris Saint-Germain, where he beat about five or six men. I think he started his own move in like in his box or something. Roasted everybody, got to the keeper, little dink over, and some horrible bloke, I forget his name, cleared it off the line.
Rod Fanny, it was Rod Fanny, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the name says it all.
It's easy for me to say.
He's got his own problems.
It's arguably. Let's move on to...
Can I just say, Mark, I was so disappointed about that at the time. We almost aired a feature called Enemies of Football. You could be a Man United fan with that indignant.
Indeed. Let's move on to the Premier League. Looking back and looking forward, Manchester City, won the league. They did win the league. And they were the best team in the league, as the league table doesn't lie. Luke, Man City...
Yeah, obviously, had a brilliant season. I thought that I actually gave Pellegrini my... Well, no one asked me, but if they did, I would have given Pellegrini my manager of the year. Yeah. And I think, the job he has to do in terms of managing at that club is obviously completely different to a job, say, Pulis has to do, where Pellegrini clearly has to manage egos and keep everyone happy. And let's not forget, I mean, under Mancini, it was a pretty divided squad, and it wasn't
easy. They were pleased to see the back of him.
Yeah, I believe that's his first title in European football. So, I mean, he's obviously done very well there. Liverpool, again, were slightly disappointed towards the end when it really counted. But City, I mean, it's so difficult to judge them, really, because they've got such resources, same as Chelsea. But overall, you can't really argue with them, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think just Torre just constantly scoring worldies from behind his shower curtain. It's just incredible.
Torre's going to, I think, will now become the sort of archetypal poster boy for sort of oligarch football. I mean, you see him making eyes at PSG now, so it'd be a great honour to play for them and stuff. I can see him going there for a couple of seasons, maybe two or three, and then moving to another big club and having like a last...
I mean, he's, what, 31?
Yeah, so he'll be like a nice big contract at another one that's come through, another big club. And if he's not careful, maybe he wants to be the poster boy for it. for that. I mean, I don't know, but I can see him doing that. And really, I've heard some Man City fans say they wouldn't be too disappointed about that. Of course, he's contributed 20 goals a season or whatever it is, and he's made a huge contribution to City's season. But I don't think people are still completely convinced by him, especially Man City fans. Sometimes he goes a bit missing defensively, stuff like that. I've said it before, been ridiculed. I don't care. I'm sticking with it. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them next season. They're clearly going to strengthen. I'll be interested to see how Liverpool get on as well on the transfer market and see if Rodgers and Liverpool can kick on.
Well, they've signed Ricky Lambert, Jim.
They have.
That's a lovely one, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's a good signing, though.
It'd be interesting if they now lose Luis Suarez, which hopefully they won't.
That's not a replacement.
Exactly.
Like, oh, God, six I haven't thought this through at all. Done this the wrong way round.
I'm so happy for Ricky Lambert. Mm. He's really fought so hard to become a footballer at the top level. He's now going to the World Cup. He's rejoining his boyhood club. It's like one of us has just had a dream that's come true. It's just absolutely brilliant for him, and I think it'll be really good for them. Like Rodgers has said, that he's a lot more technically gifted than he gets credit for.
Oh, so. He is. He's not the big man that
they said the exact same thing about Andy Carroll. And
there's 31 million more reasons why he's a little bit more. Yeah, but I think if you look at Lambert, I mean, you think he's a Liverpool fan, obviously. Yep. He's of a certain age and plays a certain way, so he won't mind sitting on the bench. So he won't unsettle other players. Mm. Liverpool are going to be competing on a lot more fronts next season, so that's important as well. Yeah. It's a perfect signing for the price, it really is.
Somebody made a good point that Lambert hasn't been playing top flight football for his whole career, therefore you could make an argument that he's not had the strains of the Premier League. So could he go on a little bit longer? I mean, he's 32 now. Mm. But
Phillips.
Well, yeah. But again, played a lot of... Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think Lambert will get penalties? Ahead of Gerrard?
No, I wouldn't have thought. Not ahead of Gerrard.
He's a better penalty taker than Gerrard, though.
Try and explain that on the training ground.
I'm Steven Gerrard, mate. That's what he'll say. That's as far as the conversation will go.
Both scouts, yeah. No, I think it is a good move. And the one, I don't know about one criticism, but certainly a criticism of Liverpool last season was in that game against Chelsea, where they just didn't have another option. And they kept trying to play their game, and part of that's quite admirable. But, you know, there was a few jokes, that was the game they could have done with Carroll and whatnot. Now, Lambert is a slightly different player to Carroll, but he would be a different option in a game like that, would he not?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, the key thing to remember is Liverpool are going to be competing on a lot more fronts next season. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want to stay in the Champions League. They should be a Champions League club. Everyone would probably agree they're, you know, one of the top two sort of Premier League teams in the country, really. So to that end, they'll need to compete on that level. And Lambert, I don't know whether he'll be the one that will make the difference for them in the Champions League. Mm. You know, but I mean, the classic example would be when they have a Wednesday night Champions League game and they go Saturday away at QPR or whatever. Lambert can go in there and he can play the whole game and he could easily do a job there. You know, he'll probably perform
goal scorer.
He'll probably be too good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, they're by no means finished shopping as well. Mm. I'm sure there's a lot more to come.
Well,
that
it looks
squad.
Like they're going to have to replace Luis Suarez. I don't think he'll be there.
I think Harry Redknapp could sign Lambert before the start of the season.
I thought you were going to say Suarez.
I think he could go in there, Lambert, and get him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But I think the ultimate test, the surprising thing for me is just the PR turnaround between Luis Suarez, what people thought of Luis Suarez at the start of last season and what people thought of Brendan Rodgers at the start of last season. Yeah. Where it was just kind of Brendan Rodgers was a bit of a
David Brent
kind of character.
I just still see him as David Brent who just won a few more games.
But like Luis Suarez was like, he didn't have heat maps, he had hate maps. That's where, where people hated him the most. That's
It's quite interesting in the build up to the World Cup. There's a lot of reminders of Suarez's punch off the line against Ghana, and everyone's going, because he's done so much evil stuff since that that you forget about probably the nastiest moment in World Cup history.
Yeah. But he's been seen at like PR events, kind of like the PFAs and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, obviously. PFAs,
oh, he's been
he's been putting himself about.
And
just
also, he hasn't been a dick, which
is always going to
help.
By his own standards.
But not this season. Let's go down the league a little bit to Sunderland, Pete. We'll come to you for this one.
They
finished 14th.
Incredible.
Which is remarkable.
And incredible.
They were written off by many people. No doubt they're in this room as well.
Who wrote them off?
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
There's a
couple.
They're all
10
honest people.
Good to see.
That's right.
One out of four honest people.
They were written off, they were down the doldrums, and then suddenly a point away to Manchester City, one against Chelsea and one against Manchester United. Absolutely magnificent. Next season, do you see them struggling in a relegation fight again, or do we think, well, they're mid-table?
But I think it just needs to learn lessons. They brought in Jordi Gomez, I do believe. Yeah. I think he needs to stop messing
Marini
around with his
says back. He wants to stay at Liverpool.
I think Larsson's on a new contract as well.
Yeah.
They played 4-3-3 so many times when it worked, but then when they started playing three at the back, they just didn't know what to do. They're Sunderland players. Lee Catamol's in there, for crying out loud.
I'll tell you something, I saw Lee Catamol in the League Cup final put in one of the best halves I've seen from a player this season.
He's definitely got it in him. The last five or six
He's definitely
matches.
Got it in him.
And he's not a Gus Poyet kind of continental kind of passy player.
No.
But he seems to be,
It was interesting if you juxtapose them with Norwich, whereas Norwich had those four really tough games at the end of the season, and you thought, well, the way things are going, they're down because they can't get anything out of that. Mm. And you would probably at that point beforehand looked at Sunderland, looked at those three games and said, no points out of that. Mm. But they actually managed to do it, and that was the huge difference. And to be honest, that lower half of the table, we've said it before on the show, there's so much crap down there. There's not much between them. I don't mean that in a flippant way. There's just not that much quality there.
I mean it in a flippant way.
And I mean,
that's all I can do.
I mean, look at Newcastle, the back end of the
season. No. It's like so looking at a fucking sun. It's horrible.
Yeah. Newcastle are a top 10 Premier League team. That should get the biggest laugh of the fucking night. I can't remember the last time I did anything.
But what I like about Gus Poyet's summer is going to be spent, he's doing a lot of punditing for ITV. Does he really want to get back on that couch? Last time he got on there, he got fired.
As it happened.
It was like
the chairman was walking around his house at the time going, I've got to do something. What was it? I didn't remember. I forgot what I've got to do. Turns the telly on. Gus Poyet, there it is. Fire.
Just pressing the red button. Yeah. How does this work? Yeah. All this new technology.
Well, maybe he's quite up for doing the ITV World Cup highlights because Roy Keane's pulled out.
As far as I'm concerned, you might as well cancel the whole thing. Yeah. I was really looking forward. I'm being serious. I was looking forward to Roy Keane's punditry more than I was looking forward to England's game against Italy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, the punditry on the game, perhaps. That would have been quite interesting.
I might get him around anyway.
I'm sure he'd be up for that. Tony Pulis, a magnificent job at Crystal Palace. Where do Palace go next season? I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because it kind of happened to Pulis at Stoke, didn't it? He performs well, or his sides perform well. They are consistently a mid-table club.
Yeah.
But fans want a bit more. But to break into that top six...
Do Palace want a bit more, though? Do Palace fans want a bit more at this point?
Well, if they become a mid-table club, then perhaps.
Well, I think, though, it's all about consolidation for Palace now, isn't it? I don't think there'd be many Palace fans going, no, we've got to have the Europa League or he's got to go.
Yeah.
Like, that would be crazy.
No, but that seems to be the ambition for most Premier League clubs that aren't in the top five. Just don't go down. Why bother going?
Yeah. It's enough to sort of spawn a sort of existential crisis amongst supporting teams like that because you genuinely don't know what the end game is.
It's a shop window for someone to buy you out.
Because if you take Southampton and all the players they've lost, which we'll come on to in a minute.
Yep. Portsmouth fan, Luke Moore there.
Can we put about 20 minutes for that?
Yeah.
It's a serious point, which I've mentioned before, is that they threw the FA Cup, essentially. They threw it. You know, and really, they weren't going to finish anywhere hugely different to where they finished. And they could have done something in the FA Cup. And surely, if you're a fan, you're thinking, well, this could be great for us. You know, to win the FA Cup would be magnificent for a team like Southampton. But they've thrown it away because
that's
they want to
exactly
get...
the same for Newcastle. Like, Mike Ashley basically came out and basically said
they for every
that
game
if
away.
Anybody... if you win a cup, you automatically go down, which is not the case in the slightest.
I think Ashley's using the whole of Newcastle United as a massive PR exercise for Sports Direct. As simple as that. They do too much stupid stuff too often to get in the press for it to be anything else. Mm. It must be that.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I don't
really
know if that's a joke or not. It wasn't a joke.
I was trying to work out myself, but you might have stumbled upon something there.
But with the Pulis...
Do you think he's making Pardew behave in the way he does then?
So you get all that money, you get that your contract, but you've got to do whatever I say.
He's got a microphone in his ear going, go on, tell him to shut his noise. Tell him to shut his noise.
Swear a bit as well.
Headbutt him.
That's him.
Yeah. It's like a hidden camera show.
Hey, what about the headbutt? Let's talk about
come
that.
Come on, Alan, just headbutt the closest person to you.
Not John Carver.
But I really like David Meyer. Tough shit.
We don't condone violence, of course, but it was a piss-poor headbutt.
Yeah. He grew up in Scotland. Man,
I know.
That headbutt and how sort of...
That was a head brush.
Yeah, well, how non-committal it was. It's really a metaphor for Newcastle's entire season. Yeah.
It was at that moment.
I could have, but I don't want to get injured. It's a World Cup year. like Remy, I don't want to play.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. But what about Southampton then? They've lost their manager and...
I want to give Tony Pulis a bit more credit before we move on.
Well, okay then.
I think really, if you look at the job, I mean... Obviously, the nature of the football coverage and stuff is quite reactive, and people are writing Palace off very early on, which is obviously a bit silly. But the job he did was so good. I mean, they were in the doldrums.
I suppose my original point was that when you're a side fighting relegation, actually there is excitement in a weird way around the club. You're not battling at the top end, but you're battling...
Man over there, God.
No.
No, just fear. Just lots of fear.
Well, says the man who doesn't support a club.
Yeah. I said about that the best.
Someone hissed then.
Did they?
Yeah. Make a decision.
Yeah, I shall do at the end of the show. but it is true. There's stuff going on, but it's that mid-table obscurity that fans can get a little bit unhappy with, and we've seen it. As I say, use Pulis as an example.
I don't think at Stoke, of course.
Yeah, of course.
It's like choosing between fire and cake.
Yes, it's always
it's a decision we've all made in the past.
Yeah. They don't sell Luke fire and
cake
again.
Not even fat. So you can see him now. Yeah. We all do is do fat jokes. Not even fat.
Yeah. Southampton.
He sounds Southampton. Fat, though, doesn't he?
Boorish. Pretty boorish man.
Can we talk about this bit?
Can we bloody talk about Southampton?
Okay, sorry. That's what I'm always saying every week.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you are now. The manager's gone. Ricky Lambert's gone.
Fucking great. I have to say, I've kept pretty quiet up till now.
A bit of applause there, bloody hell.
A bit Keegan there.
I invited 45 Portsmouth fans.
Did you? Yeah. Incredible, there's that many left. Yeah. In the words of David Coleman, 1-0.
Weren't we talking about Southampton?
Yeah, indeed we can. But who would you fancy for the job? Apparently Michael Elbert.
Gary Megson.
Yeah.
I've even called him.
Get
got his number.
Get Megan.
Yes, it is Southampton on the phone. Come down in now.
Have we still got the Megson pointometer?
Yeah, we should have.
Can we get that back?
It broke.
Did it? It just didn't move.
Yeah.
It froze.
Yeah.
Michael Laudrup was his name was mentioned, and Laudrup said, "Nah, I fancy a big club." I thought, bloody hell, Mike.
I heard.
You know,
I agree with him. I heard Ronald Koeman's in the frame.
Is he?
I heard that. Yeah, finals Ronald Koeman. Yeah.
Oh, that's
that'd be interesting.
That'd be interesting. I mean, Jim, any thoughts on that? No, perhaps not, maybe.
The Cruyff turn. We've got to talk about the Cruyff turn.
Yeah, Arthur Boric. That was one of the moments of the season.
Arthur Boric's Cruyff turn against Arsenal.
It wasn't a Cruyff turn. I mean, I think that's out of order to Johan Cruyff.
What I like about it, Arthur Boric actually posted a picture of Johan Cruyff on his Instagram.
On his Instagram, yeah.
He did. Oh, I got that wrong.
At least he did.
Didn't he say, like, sorry about that?
Did it
tag Johan in?
He's got odds.
A mark of what a good season they have, though, that they can just start messing about like that in such a crucial moment, in such a crucial game. Have you got an idea of who you think will take over?
I've not. To be genuine, I've no idea.
It's a really interesting job for someone.
Get Strachan back.
Someone like Koeman would be great. It depends what Cortez is going to do with him, doesn't it?
I think on a football level, I do genuinely think that it is a little bit sad that Southampton do things the right way. They bring players through.
Oh, they've got a magnificent
academy.
They're going to get
that club picked to bits now. I mean, obviously the manager's already gone. You think Shaw's going to go. Lallana will probably go. Lambert's already gone. There's even talk of Rodriguez going. There's talk of Lovren going. Mm. Essentially, the beating heart of that team is going to go. Mm. And I just that makes me feel a bit uncomfortable in terms of how modern football works, because what's the motivation for Southampton to do anything? I mean, they bring these players through. They've been known to bring these players through, like Walcott and Bale and the players we're seeing now, like Shaw and stuff. And to a certain extent, that boy up front, Gallagher and Callum Chambers, and the list goes on, Nathaniel Klein. It's really hard to stay motivated to produce those sorts of players if you're just going to get them picked up.
And the one they lost, Ricky Lambert, is not a product of their youth academy.
No, exactly.
Yeah, so,
that's a bargain they picked up lower down to try and...
True.
But that feeds back to my point about the FA Cup, because if their team gets pulled to pieces now, next season they're completely unrecognisable, how good would it have been for them to win the FA Cup? They could have won the FA Cup. Mm. There's no reason they couldn't have won it. I mean, they got knocked out by Sunderland, I think it was.
But that's not going to make a player stay, though, is it?
No, but at least for the fans and for the clubs, they can say FA Cup winners 2014 or whatever, you know. But, and now there's no...
You'll say it.
Yeah. No one's going to remember them for the
eight. I can say it.
You know.
Yeah. Quite confidently as well.
Manchester United, hey, Louis van Halden. Marvellous
scenes.
Big
pair of bollocks.
Massive pair of balls. Massive pair of balls.
The dream's over, guys.
I think one of my moments of last season actually was Amalfitano's goal for West Brom.
Yeah. What I find not begging really... Johnny Evans.
Yeah, when he took the whole Man United team on, and it was such a nonchalant finish.
Yeah,
at Old Trafford, at that end as well.
He took the Man United team on by running diagonally down the pitch, and that was enough to confuse them.
Yeah.
And they were the ghost out of Pac-Man, can't move diagonally.
Have you played FIFA 95?
Yeah.
Of course I
have. That's the move.
West Brom, managed to do what only Everton, Sunderland, Spurs, Newcastle have done this season.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. But what can Van Gaal bring the fortress feel?
Well, it was great when obviously no one likes to see a person lose their job. David Moyes seems like a good egg, he's done a great job at Everton and stuff. But the statement that Man United released only just stopped short of going, "We didn't think it would be that bad." Yeah. I know it started off by saying, "I know what you're thinking," but we didn't know it would be that bad. And we don't sack managers very often, so give us a pass. We'd like to thank David for all the hard work he's done.
We're as surprised as you.
What do you think of Van Gaal at Manchester United? I mean, I thought he would got the job actually about 10 years ago when Ferguson was.
There was talk of that, wasn't
there? I just like the fact that the first thing he said was basically apologising that he didn't sign for Spurs and basically mentioned Jimmy Greaves, how he liked Jimmy Greaves.
Yeah.
It's a confusing start of a press conference.
And a banner went over. Fuck off, Spurs. We bought 10 of these, we've got 7 left.
Yeah. The last one I'm going to smash at the centre circle.
Yeah. Lee Sharp barbecue next Saturday. Bring your own cassettes.
Oh dear. Manchester United are a funny one, aren't they? Because they need to sign players, but will people be put off the fact they're not in the Champions League?
Well, I mean, the thing with Van Gaal is Van Gaal's a big name. He's obviously made a very top level, done an awful lot of good stuff in the game. But people, I think, are using his name as almost like a byword for success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he adds difficulty in places as well.
He has.
And so it's not automatically going to be successful straight away. They've got a lot of rebuilding to do. They're not going to have European football next season, which may help them.
But if you're a fringe player who might be able to get a bit of game time in the Champions League, you're sort of thinking, well, why should I sign for Manchester United? Yeah. I'm going to just be sat on the bench.
I still think they're a big draw. I still think you've got a lot of fans.
But the names have been linked with people like Toni Kroos. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Could they really attract people like that?
I don't know.
They've been linked with about 6 Bayern Munich players.
Yeah.
It's like Bayern Munich are taking the piss out of them.
Yeah.
For 99.
Yeah. Here's another player that we're not going to give to.
Yeah. Remember 99? We do. Do you like Thomas Müller? You're not having him.
Yeah. You can have a drawing.
Yeah, you can have a drawing of Thomas Müller.
Which we value.
To put on the dressing room on non-match days.
Yes, Jim.
We'll help you sign Ander Herrera.
On paper, though, the idea of Louis van Gaal managing Man United is terrifying. You know, he should make that club really, really good again. I think the fun is over. And, you know, look at the players they do still have there. They have Wayne Rooney, they have Juan Mata, they have Robin van Persie. There's still a lot of talent there. And, you know, the talent that squad has should not have finished 7th in the Premier League. So I think this is going to be, you know, back to normal for Man United. Maybe they won't win the title, but I surely think they'll be challenging again.
So you'd fancy, I mean, as every season these days, you'd fancy City and Chelsea to strengthen. And you'd fancy...
Isn't that fun? Well, Chelsea rumoured, of course, with Fabregas.
Yeah.
Now, Van Persie was a bit of a sickler, Jim, but if you saw that,
the difference is you have to be sort of level-headed about this sort of thing, because that's what modern football is like now. If you have these cases where you snap up players from another team's academy on some sort of rule, and then they go on to be a world-class player and move all around the world for loads of different clubs, it's just what happens. You can't be too angry about it or too bitter about it. Arsenal apparently have a buyback option, so if they don't do that, we can't really sort of whinge at anyone but ourselves. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So we have him back. Bye.
And Lampard looks as though he's going to move on to the MLS, which is a good move. Although the MLS season doesn't start until March, or certainly into the new year, or something like that. And so there's a little bit of a window of opportunity, which Harry Redknapp seems to have first dibs on.
Is it his car window?
It is literally the window of opportunity.
I think Lampard deserves so much credit.
He's moving around.
Have you got
We've had to get bottled.
Lampard deserves so much credit as not only being, you know, one of the very great midfield players in Premier League history, but one of the very great players in Premier League history. Yes. I mean, what he's essentially achieved everything you can achieve.
From going from the fat kid from West Ham, it's amazing the turnaround. Because he had to make a sort of PR turnaround as well, and he's won everything he could possibly win as a player.
He just deserves credit. I just wanted to make sure he was mentioned in that breath because the things he's achieved and you know, Chelsea's all-time leading scorer. He's a midfield player.
Well, isn't he one of two now, because Yaya Toure has joined him, midfielders to score 20 or more goals in a Premier League season.
What I like about it is that Jermaine Defoe must be raging that he's not in the England squad. He's like, I went over to the MLS and I'm not allowed to play in the England squad.
Well, he understands
what he should do is get in the squad, then move to the MLS.
That's very true.
On the standby list for England.
Well, it's better than any standby list I've been on. Just at the hospital.
There we are. Well, Premier League, it'll be hopefully as good next season. It was the season just gone. The Championship was fantastic as always. And the Nuge, David Nugent will be in the Premier League. I mean, we'll say this is the Championship. Yes, come on, everybody. Come on.
He's the new Grant Hull, and you know it. He's going to do nothing.
Oh, we had a good first season, though.
He's going to do nothing in the second season.
Nugent, a.k.a. The Difference, as we called him, he'll be up. Leicester City were, of course, amazing this year. And Sean Dyche and Burnley were absolutely phenomenal.
The interesting thing about Leicester is, we were talking about this earlier, is that Leicester didn't actually score what I would consider that many goals for the amount of games they won. I think they won 31 out of 46 games. And they only scored something like 83 goals, which is less than, obviously, two a game. And you've got to wonder how that's going to translate to the Premier League next season. And
they won't count, mate. They have to score a new goal.
What? Oh, fuck then. They're absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
They're absolutely fucked. And I actually had a little bet with a friend of mine who's a Spurs fan that David Nugent will score more Premier League goals next season than Roberto Soldado. So... I'll see you later.
Yeah.
The brilliant thing is a Spurs fan will definitely rise to that.
Yeah.
And get
he took the bet.
Oh dear. Brian McDermott had a bad date again, didn't he? he's left Leeds by mutual consent.
Has anyone checked on him?
Yeah. The amazing thing with that, though, is McDermott's going to be thinking, so does this mean I come in for training or not? I don't know anymore.
Is this another 2-day holiday?
Yeah. No. But it was by mutual consent, so do you think he went, well... It's not the worst day of my life.
It happened on like a Friday night about 11:30 as well.
Is that right?
Which is such a weird thing to do. Do you reckon he thought that it was still the 80s and the papers have already gone to press and they can't cover it?
Yeah.
But Cellino, the owner, he called all the players in for a meeting yesterday, didn't he? And apparently a good handful of the squad, according to Sky Sports News, had booked flights to fly on holiday that day.
Is that right?
And one of the young lads, Sam Byram, I think it was, he did quite a, not tearful, but he did an interview where he goes, I was supposed to go on holiday with my dad today and he's had to fly out on his own, so a bit disappointed. Yeah. Quite bad for him.
Yeah. That's a shame. We look forward to the Championship next season, and Steve McLaren and Derby, they'll be, hopefully they can keep their players as well.
Top scorers in the league, of course.
Absolutely. In the Scottish Premiership.
Go for a beer.
You get me one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Celtic, they won the league again. Roy Keane is not being linked with the job anymore, so they won't be. They won't have a madman at the helm. But Paolo Di Canio is being linked.
I like that. A politically difficult man for a slightly politically difficult club.
It's a match made in Glasgow. I think we all hope that Di Canio gets that job, don't we? Unless, of course, you are
any
a Celtic
job,
fan.
Any job's fine.
But there's a reason to talk about it, good God. Yeah.
But as you well know, the Scottish Championship next season will be the place to be, where Hearts, Hibs and Rangers will be. Yeah. So there we are. A personal highlight for me last season just gone was Craig Brown being honoured by the by the SFA. I'll never forget the quote. I'm getting a wee honour at the weekend. was what he said. A wee honour. Spain. One of the stories of the season was at Atletico Madrid, they won the league. Absolutely amazing job. Diego Simeone, okay, missed out on the Champions League, but to win the Copa del Rey against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu the previous season, and then to win the league on the last day against Barcelona, was phenomenal. I mean, they've got a shoestring budget. They lost Falcao the previous year. What a job that he did, Jim.
Yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't
it?
Because it looked on a few occasions like they were going to stumble and it wasn't quite going to happen, but he just united that squad so much. I think it actually knocks the confidence of Real Madrid and Barcelona more than you would expect it on their own squad. And they refused to not win that league. It was
absolutely.
The most impressive thing for me was, as we said at the time, is that the way they play, the high energy, the pressing they go through, and the physical demands that Simeone puts through them, that they follow without question. You were thinking they're not going to keep this up. It can't happen.
That's a hard game for a big squad.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, but that's squad very small.
The last three or four matches, though, they looked dead on their
feet. Well, they dragged themselves over the line, didn't they?
And you made the point, Marcus, about the final week of La Liga, which basically effectively meant that they were going to struggle because they had to try for an extra week in the Champions League final. And, of course, they came so close to the Champions League final. You knew it was going to happen, though, didn't you? You knew
they just couldn't quite get there.
And the Simeone thing was, the five-minute thing was so bizarre, because he just went off the hook, didn't he? Yeah. He went absolutely crazy.
That's what I like about him. He's not interested in being, like, this kind of PR manager kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. With Atletico Madrid, though, can they sustain
this? What do you think they'll do next season?
Well, next season, I mean, they've pretty much lost Diego Costa, of course. David Villa is pretty much joined New York City.
He's their only player at the moment.
New York,
yeah, he is.
What happens if they don't sign anyone else?
Yeah. Well, Simeone will have to become player manager, which I think we'd all like to see. A highlight, of course, in Spain, the season gone was Real Madrid 3, Barcelona 4 was fantastic. Gareth Bale, what a season he had, winning two trophies, scoring in both finals. And Luis Enrique, new head of coach of Barcelona, be quite intriguing. We're going to have to wrap up the first half, though, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll be talking about World Cup in all its glory in the second half. So
go get a beer. That guy at the back with the bottle.
Yeah, he's already got one. If I get a beer off him, it sounds like he's got a few.
If you're his mate, stop him getting a beer.
Yeah, that's indeed correct. So we'll see you in the second half. Remember, there's a short video coming up right now. Thank you very much. See you in the second half.
Not very good.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.